So the question of leadership haunts the Middle East in many forms in this revolutionary year. The question of leadership and succession has bedeviled the Islamic world since the death of Muhammad, and the issues are no less challenging in this century. As we speak, talks are underway in Qatar to work out a way forward for Libya. In Egypt, the dynastic abuses of the Mubarak family disqualify the former president's son from taking power in that country. But the King of Jordan succeeded his father. The Saudi royal family are all descended from Ibn Saud, the founder of that nation. Bashar Assad, the president of Syria, is the son of Ba'athist leader Hafez al-Assad. And it looked for a while like Saddam Hussein's notorious sons were in line for leadership until the U.S. invasion changed things in Iraq in 2003. So we were struck by a piece we saw in today's Guardian newspaper in London. It's written by Dr. Benjamin Barber, and the theory of the piece, or the premise of the piece, is Saif is a Gaddafi, but is there a real reformer inside Muammar Gaddafi's son? Dr. Benjamin Barber joins us now from London, along with the BBC's Nick Childs. Dr. Barber, good morning.
Good morning. I'm in New York, not London, but nice to be with you.
All right. Well, first, give us a sense of why you think there might be a reformer there in Saif Gaddafi.
Well, you know, in the uproar after the insurgency, as often happens, the press likes to look for villains or heroes, and it found a likely and appropriate villain in Saif Gaddafi, who had, at the outset of the uprising, joined his father and said he would live and die in Libya and that he was committed to the defense of the family and the regime, and made it very clear on which side he stood. But in the 5 or 6 years prior to that, during the long period of rapprochement with Libya, when Libya yielded its weapons of mass destruction, when it released the four nurses and the Palestinian doctor who had been held hostages for many years, when it negotiated a $1.3 billion settlement for the victims of Lockerbie, Saif Gaddafi, among the six sons, was the one who, as a Western-educated young man who had a PhD from London School of Economics, had actually worked both inside and outside of Libya on issues of reform. He had argued for a free press, said there was none. He had argued for forms of electronic democracy. He had convened a constitutional committee to try to write a democratic constitution. And he also had started a international foundation that did some of this work, including human rights work. So, in other words, there's a long history of Saif from about 2003 to 2010, where he was active as a reformer, sometimes at some considerable cost and risk to himself.
Well, being westernized and being a reformer are two different things, I would think. And the European press is filled with stories of how the Gaddafis spread their patronage around the Berlusconi government. For instance, how is your views on Gaddafi perhaps not or influenced, in fact, by economic relationships you may have had with the Gaddafis?
Well, you know, if you want to talk about Gaddafi and so on, if you want to talk about me, then really, you know, you got the wrong thing. My relationship with Saif Gaddafi had no economic parameters at all. I served as a member of the foundation for 3 years and met regularly. We received a couple of $1,000s to come and our expenses. That was it. So there was no economic relationship with Saif Gaddafi at all. You know, this is a typical kind of journalist response.
No, I think we need to disclose
the
it.
Of the world, rather trying to personalize it and figure out why somebody might write this.
I'm sorry you might feel that way, but I think
bloodshed and death
understood
in a constant, in Libya right now. And the question is, how do we get out of it? We probably don't get out of it by talking about me. We might get out of it by talking to someone who's capable.
Right. Okay. That's fine. Let's not waste time. I think it's important for our listeners to know any relationship you may have had with the Gaddafis. Simply that, and you've stated it. Nick Childs on the line from London. Is it possible that in Qatar, the possibility of a succession in Libya could be on the table in any sense?
Well, John, I think one of the backgrounds to all of this is a sense that certainly the key players want to maintain as much unity as they possibly can against the backdrop of this proving as a crisis to be both more prolonged and more difficult than they had previously hoped. And clearly everyone there is saying a political settlement is the only way forward. There is no entirely military solution to this, although the key players like the British and the French would like more military pressure and would like others to do some of the hard work as well. But clearly part of this is attempting both to maintain what is a fragile coalition and a sense of unity and purpose there, also to maintain some pressure on the Gaddafi regime
right.
in its totality, and getting some sense out of this meeting as to how far people are prepared to go with that. And whatever efforts are made on the political front, I think are going to be the key signs coming out.
The
of
BBC's Nick Childs on the line from London talking about the meeting in Qatar about the leadership succession in Libya. Well, Benjamin Barber, then give me a sense of what Saif Gaddafi would need to say to establish credibility with the opposition in Benghazi.
Well, first of all, as Nick said, there is only a diplomatic solution or a protracted, costly, violent civil war. Right now, if you're going to have any kind of diplomacy, there's got to be somebody on the other side to talk to. So the question is simply, who would that be? And I think of those who are on the other side, the only member of the family who would be capable of talking in terms that could possibly be acceptable would Saif Gaddafi. But I think it would have to be very clear from the beginning that he was not arguing that he would replace his father. He would have to argue that his father would depart from power, the Gaddafis would depart from power, and he himself would depart from power. He would simply act as a interim person to oversee a transition from the other side to assure that it was the terms of an agreement carried out.
Is this something he's going to have to say, or is this something that
would be presented as an offer? As you know, but this kind of diplomacy is not argued publicly. There's no way anybody in the opposition and the coalition is going to say publicly that they're going to be willing to put up with any Gaddafi still hanging around or doing anything. But the question is quietly who you talk to, what gets said, and what gets done. This is not something that can be negotiated publicly, and it's not something right. that can be negotiated in Doha, in Qatar, today. We want to remember that William Hague, the British foreign minister, who was leading the negotiations
right.
down there, was a man who said on the first weekend of the uprising, "Don't worry, Colonel Gaddafi has gone to join his buddy Chavez in Venezuela."
Right. Well, is there a Gaddafi in Libya's future? It's a discussion on the table in Qatar, and Benjamin Barber makes that discussion in the Guardian this morning, suggesting that Saif Gaddafi might be in the political future of Libya. We also spoke with the BBC's Nick Childs from London. Thanks so much.